Welcome to the podcast of Reverend Daniel Agbesi. Reverend Daniel Agbesi is the founder and head pastor of Peacekeepers Assembly International, located at Kwabena, adjacent to the community hospital. Reverend Daniel preaches on righteousness, faithfulness, godliness, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. He is the epitome of a virtuous man. Now, let's listen to Reverend Daniel.
This one, we are looking at the necessity of thanksgiving. Amen. This message will transform your life. The necessity of thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Amen. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I take it again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, not some things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Praise be to God. The necessity of thanksgiving. You see, the reality of life is such that it is not always that you have all your requests and your expectations granted in life. That's the reality of life. That your expectations, you know, the beginning of this year, you had New Year resolutions. You said by the time this year will be over, you will build a three-bedroom self-compound house. Whether it has come into reality or not, we don't want to know. But life is such that certain expectations don't get met, or it's not granted. In fact, your experience in life will teach you that sometimes what you needed most in life do not come at the time that you need it. Do I have a witness in the house? There are times that what is difficult for other people to achieve, in those times it is easy for you to achieve. In other times also, what is easy for you to achieve is difficult for some other people. Or what is difficult for you to achieve, some other people achieve it easily. And that is the reality of life. You may be born again, you may speak in the Holy Ghost, you may learn how to fast or not, but sometimes in life, what appears to be difficult for you is easy for some other people. And ladies and gentlemen, despite all these realities, one of the most important things about life that does not change is the life that God has given to you. Hear me? One of the most important things that do not change, that demons can do nothing about, something that human beings cannot take away from you, is the life that God has given to you. The ability to breathe, the ability to carry yourself, the ability to lift up your hand is a gift from God. Is somebody hearing me at all? And that alone deserves gratitude. You know, that alone must make you to give gratitude unto God. And being alive is a guarantee that you have a glorious destiny. Being a alive, child of God, is an assurance that better days are on their way. I don't know about you, but I feel in my spirit that somebody here, your story will by all means change. I say your story will by all means change. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 4. The Bible said, but for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. The assurance of a better life is not connected to the dead, but to the living. Which stands to reason that as long as you are alive, better days are coming. I said better days are coming. Once you are alive, you will surely see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Only three people heard me. I said, once you are alive, you will surely see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Your eyes will see what God has said.
your hands will handle what God has said. Come on, shout a better amen.
The Bible said that by two immutable things that it is impossible for God to lie. God means what he says, and he says what he means. Can I prophesy over your life this day? I prophesy that your end shall be better than the beginning. I say your ending shall be better than the beginning. I prophesy your name shall become great. Among your friends, God will honor you. I say God will honor you. Clap your hands to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we continue? You will fail to show gratitude to God if you want to wait for 100% outcome of your expectation. There are certain people, they don't thank God because they're like, Pastor, I am waiting. I have written 15 things for this year. I've been able to do only 7. It's left with 5. So I am waiting for the is it 5? 8. I treat you. I have written 15 things. I've been able to accomplish 7. And it's ready. How many? 8. So, Pastor, I am waiting for 100% score. Then I can thank God. Hear me? As long as you are alive as a human being, it is impossible for you to know all that God is doing for you. There are some things that God is doing for you that you have no idea about. Hello? There are some things that God is doing that you have no knowledge about. The things you write on paper thinking that they are the only things God is doing for you is a big lie. Hello? It takes insight and revelation for you to know that God is doing many things that you have no idea about. Because there are some things that God has done that you have no idea about. Praise be to God. I remember last month I was preaching in a church. I was there with Pastor Acha and Pastor Evans. And I did 3 days with the church. And on the second day, there is this elderly woman. And the Lord spoke to me to tell her to bring her husband to the host pastor, the pastor who hosted me for the program. So the pastor will pray for the husband because I saw a scandal that will bring a lot of shame, serious shame to the family. So I said, woman, bring your husband to the pastor. The third day before I left, I told her that, listen, if you want your pastor to come to your husband at home, pay for his fuel. Let him come because I see scandal about to happen to your husband. It's something they don't know. But what they don't know is that God was working out something for their household. So when I left, she brought the husband to the pastor according to the testimony. The pastor prayed for the man and said, you will not be involved in a scandal. But prior to that prophetic word, there was a deal that came to the office that had the husband, the woman's husband name in the deal. But for some strange reasons, he didn't want to be part of the deal anymore. The deal at first didn't look like it was a setup. Hello? It didn't look like it was what? A setup. Somewhere, somehow, the man pulled himself out of the deal and the deal became a big just setup that the people at the office have to sit with the public accounts committee, something that will come on TV and we'll read it in the news. And the man was so shocked how close he was to a scandal, but God orchestrated his deliverance. Is somebody hearing me at all? There are many things God has done that you have no idea about. That is why you must not thank God for the things that he has always done, but you must thank God for who he is. Because if it cannot be God on our side, we would have perished by now. Why don't you clap your hands? Hallelujah. There are many people, they only thank God for the things he has done. What about the things you don't know that he has done? Hello? So thanksgiving should not be restricted to what God has done alone. But thanksgiving should be about who God is. Amen? That is number one. Thanksgiving number two should be about the opportunity to be alive.
Oh,
the opportunity to be alive. Praise be to God. Even if you think God has not done all that you expected him to do, sister, brother, he's still God. You hear what I said? Oh, did you hear what I said? He is still God. Even if all your requests are not granted, he remains the just and the holy God. So our thanksgiving carries weight. Our thanksgiving is relevant when we thank God for who he is. When we thank him for his love, for his faithfulness, for his mercies, for his greatness. When we thank God that he is not like man who changes. Bible says he is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same forever. When we thank him for his steadfast love. The Bible said the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. We must thank God for his presence in our life. The Bible says if the Lord be for you, who can be against you? Why don't you clap your hands for who God is in your life? Hallelujah. After a major deliverance that God gave to the Israelites, when they walked through the Red Sea and the Red Sea drowned the enemies of the Israelites who happened to be the armies of Egypt, the Bible said the Israelites sang a song of thanksgiving. Exodus chapter 15 verse 11 in the King James Version. They sang a song. Moses led them to sing a song. He said, who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee? Oh, they sang a song to glorify God for who he is. Not because they got to the promised land. Not because they entered into the land flowing with milk and honey. But they decided to thank God for who he is. At least they are not where God says they will be. But ladies and gentlemen, they are not where they used to be. Are you hearing me at all? They are not yet in the promised land. They are not yet in the land flowing with milk and honey. But when they check their status, at least they are no longer where they used to be. Praise the Lord. So we thank God for who he is. Who God is greater than what he does in your life. Amen. When you wake up in the morning, learn to thank God for who he is. The second reason why we thank God is for the opportunity to be alive. Being alive is a very great opportunity. Life is a gift from God. Without life, nothing can be started with you. Nothing can be continued with you. And nothing can be ended with you, if you like. When God decides to take back his spirit and his breath from your life, you return to dust. Hello? You see, when an individual lies down, the reason he does not decompose, the reason he does not decay, is because the spirit and the life of God is in that individual. But in the day God will take back his spirit and breath, the moment the spirit is out and the breath is out, he begins to decay. Hello? He begins to do what? Decay. Life is a gift from God. Once you are alive, it's a major miracle on earth. The fact that you are alive is a major miracle. The day your enemies will confess to you how they wish you are dead, how they wish you see no progress, you will know that being alive and sound is a gift from God. No matter how beautiful you think you are, no matter how you estimate yourself, you are alive because the spirit and the breath of God is in the inside of you. Job chapter 34, verse 14 to 15 in the NIV. Job 34, 14 to 15. He says, if it were his intention and he withdrew his spirit and breath, all humanity will perish together and mankind will return to dust. No matter how you see yourself, the day God says, bring your breath, I'm taking my spirit from you, no matter who you are, you will go back to dust. There are people who plan, oh, after I go to the gym, I'll return and write my proposal, then I'll call those three people. What they don't know is that the one making all those things to work is the spirit and the breath of God in the inside of you. Hello. One day, the former president, Pakwesi Misahata, vice president, may he so rest in peace, he went to the gym. And in his mind, after the gym, I believe that as he was lifting the metals and running or whatever, the treadmill, he was went after the gym, he has to honor that appointment, that meeting, that conference. And after that, he will have a breakfast meeting with the president to decide blah, blah, blah. He was planning his day. He didn't know that God will call back his spirit from him. He didn't know. Life is a gift. Hello? Life is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Amen. Amen. Yesterday, I was in a funeral service of a pastor friend whose mother passed on. And in that funeral service, the pastor preaching, I was looking at the pastor of the deceased was preaching, and he said that when I came into this area, and I started work here, I wanted the church to grow, so I decided to make all children in the area to come to my church. So I discussed it with this woman who just died. And I said, I'll give the children breakfast. So I'll prepare rice water. And this woman offered to give me bread because she's a baker. So he said, every Sunday, she brings bread to church to be given to the children. And because of a contribution, they now have over 500 children. 500 children in the church alone. 500 of them. Because of a contribution of giving bread. He said one Sunday, though he heard that the woman was dead, he was still waiting for her to bring bread. But there was no longer bread. And now, I can see that the pastor is under pressure. 100 is a large number. 500 children who have dworm. They have dworm. They can eat bakery. The woman was able to do the things she was doing because life was in her. And when the life giver took his breath, her work ceased. No matter who you are, once God takes his breath out of your life, no matter what you are doing, it has come to an end. Hello? It has come to an end. If there is anything you want to thank God for, and you don't see anything in your life, sister, brother, look at yourself and thank God for the life that you have. You are not clapping your hands. Thank God for the life. I went to the cemetery, because when the pastor knew that I was also a pastor, he said, man of God, we are sharing this thing to do it. You know how this thing is. So we went to the burial ground. When we were putting the coffin in the ground, the lid was shifting. The lid, it was shifting. And the body was showing. But then they are not yet nailed it. Huh? And I didn't hear the body say, oh, the sun is scorching my body. Shifting. No, the body can't talk. Why? The spirit and breath of God has been called back. So she has returned to dust. Hello? Have I changed the service? Hello? So no matter who you are, recognize that there is a life giver. One day, you call back his breath. But now that you are alive, it's a privilege. It's an opportunity. And it's a good thing to thank God. You are not clapping your hands. Hallelujah. The necessity of thanksgiving is the expression of the needed gratitude to God to commit him to complete his work in your life. You see, when you have reasons to thank God, what you are doing is that you are inviting God to complete what he has started in your life. Anyone who is unthankful, I told you last week, anyone who complains, anyone who murmurs, you are shutting your own heavens. Hello? You are doing what? Shutting your heavens. You don't have reasons to thank God. Without, you know, if you don't thank God, what you do is that you begin to get anxious. You begin to get anxious, worried about the things you cannot change. There are some people when you see them, say, why do you look sad? Say, I'm really taking plans. And all the plans the person is taking are things that the person cannot change. Give them 700 years. They cannot change the situation. They begin to get worried. But what God is seeking from you is that look for reasons and say, thank you. Thank you. That's all God is looking for. Instead of you to get worried, look for reasons and say what? Thank you. Are you still there? Without a necessary thanksgiving to God, you are open to anxiety and confusion. To be anxious means to be worried, to be uneasy, to have tension in your life. There are some people, they can't settle. They are anxious. They are afraid of tomorrow. And what am I going to eat at Christmas Day? Christmas Day, I can't buy fowl. You have eaten two ozafi this morning before coming to church. Thank God for two ozafi. Thank God for two ozafi. That because of that, you can't even shout amen because of the two ozafi. You are thinking about Christmas when you've not even thanked God for giving you daily bread today. Are you there with me? You become uneasy. You worry about things you cannot change, things you cannot control. The scripture we read said, be anxious for nothing. When there's no thanksgiving in your life, you are going to be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When was the last time you thank God for everything that is happening in your life? Last time I took time at dawn, I thank God for people who love me and people who don't love me. I thank God for people who believe in me and people who don't believe in me. I thank God for people who left me and people who stayed. You don't have an idea. The people who left, if they have stayed one more day, by now you'll be a corpse. You have no idea. That's why I told you that God has done some things that you don't know about. That's why you must thank him always, 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 always. You are not clapping your hands. When you are anxious, when you are worried, it is an evidence that you have no reference of what God has done in your life. Anytime you are worried, it's because you don't have reference of what God has done in your life. Anytime you are worried, in other words, it means that you lack remembrance of what God has done in your life. It is the reason you are getting worried. Because anytime a mountain is standing before you and it looks like the mountain cannot be surmounted, you cannot be able to overcome the mountain, look back. Where were you in the past when God delivered you? If God had taken you out of that problem in the past, ladies and gentlemen, this mountain you will overcome it too. You will overcome it too. I say you will overcome it too. So when there are new challenges, cast your mind back, because the problem of the past look like it will never be over. But somewhere, somehow, you pass through the problem. This mountain also, it shall become a plain. Why don't you clap your hands and give Jesus a shout in the house? Listen, there are some problems, eh? When they come, God will give you inner power. You talk to the problem and it will disappear. But there's another problem. God will not take it away, but God will give you wings for you to fly over them. That's why David said, by my God, I walk through a group. By my God, I leap over everyone. May the God of heaven give you wings to fly. May he give you wings to fly. May he give you wings to fly. Come on, shout yes. And there is another form of problem. He will not take it away. He will not give you wings to fly. But what he will do for you is that he will give you grace to walk through it. Hey, if it is fire, you will go through the fire. That's why he said, when you walk through the fire, it shall not burn you. When you walk through the water, it shall not overflow you. He will give you grace. That's why David will say, yet though I walk through the valley of shadow. Why didn't he avoid it? He said, yet though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. He will give you grace to go through it. You are not clapping at all to God's word. Amen. The reason I know you will not die in the problem is because God is with you. You will come out on the other side. Oh, I say you will come out on the other side. You will come out on the other side. In the name of Jesus. So we thank God for people who judge you when you are going through tough times. They don't know that God is preparing you. God could have avoided it, but he allowed it to come your way. And he has given you grace, bulletproof, fireproof, waterproof. And you are going through it, and you don't look like your problems. Why don't you celebrate God in this place for his goodness in your life? Hallelujah! Sometimes the people who know that you are going through tough times, they shock how you still look good. They look at you like, are you a human being or you are a spirit? Because the problem that they had that you are going through, by now you should diminish. If you were tall, by now you should be short. If you were dark, the problem should have beat you. But look at you, you are looking more beautiful, more handsome. Celebrate God in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. You must always, you see, when you look at the life of David, when David said he will be able to kill Goliath, Saul said, do you know what you are talking about? This guy is a champion from his youth. You say, is that king? Let me also tell you, when I'm in the wilderness, lions and bear come, but my God has delivered them into my hands. I don't know what you have overcome in the past, but it is going to be your springboard. It's going to be your diving board to the next level of your life. If you go to a proper swimming pool, I'm not talking about your village river. a proper swimming pool, we have something called diving board. Okay, the one you and I see on TV. See that before they dive, they'll jump. Then the diving board carries them high so that they can go deep into the water. The village one is that one, and the guys have to go back. Run with one leg, they are gone. Your past victory is going to serve as your diving board to overcome the challenges in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. So you must keep in remembrance the interventions of God. It becomes the booster of a life of gratitude. You see, when you remember what God has done, this problem begins to look very small. The God who delivered you in the past, he will deliver you today. Give the Lord a clap offering. when you are anxious or when you are worried, it's a proof that you don't entirely trust the saving grace of God. You know that God is there, but somewhere, somehow, it looks like as the years are going by, God is becoming weak. So it is a reason you are getting worried. But I want you to know that you must be convinced about the saving grace of God. When you are convinced that God is going to come through for you, it is a display of faith. Amen. It's a display of what? Faith. The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he exists. And God is a rewarder. Amen. You must be convinced. It looks like help is not going to come from anywhere. But somewhere, somehow, you know that your God is not going to fail you. That is what pleases God. You can't see him. You've heard in his word that when you trust in him, he will not disappoint you. And say, God, there is no mom, there is no dad. Though I'm in a challenge right now, I know you will come through for me. The Bible says that is what pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. That is what, that's what pleases God. What does the Bible say? Is that, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you take faith out, you can't use your tears to please God. That God, can't you look at my tears? Are you not feeling compassion for me? You can't use your tears to manipulate God. The only thing that moves the hand of God is faith. Is what? Faith. Where do you get faith from? From the hearing of God's word. Bible said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Anytime you come to a place where you are losing faith, it's a sign that your faith level is diminishing. You need to top up. You need to, anytime you come to a place where your faith level is coming down, there's a chance that you are hearing something different. I was talking to one of our sisters. She told me that, Pastor, my faith, I'm becoming faithless. And I said, faith never came by seeing. To see a change in your life before you have a no. Faith has always come by what? Hearing. So what you are seeing is not the same as what you are hearing, but you believe what you are hearing than what you are seeing. You are not clapping your hands. In your family, there's no reference of greatness. But the word of God said, you will be the head and not the tail. So it is a choice to believe the history of your family or to believe God's word. So when you believe God's word, it's a demonstration of faith that no matter what is happening in my family, the word of God said, I am the head, not the tail. Therefore, I will not repeat the history of my family. That is what pleases God. That is what moves the hand of God to make you the head and not the tail. Are you still there? Are you still there? But without this, you are just trying to, you are doubting God in a polite way. Oh, Pastor, I believe God. Oh, but you see, sometimes it looks like God, once you say but, you are doubting. James chapter 1, 6 to 8. James chapter 1, 6 to 8. Amen. James 1, 6 to 8. What does the Bible say? It says that, but let him ask in faith with no what? For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Then he said, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So the word of God can be coming to you this morning. But you are telling the pastor that pastor, you don't know what you are talking about. You are just a small boy. You don't know what you are talking about. You see, by doing that, the Bible said, don't suppose. Take it back. Don't don't suppose that you will receive anything from the Lord. Anything means anything. Once you doubt the ability of God, he cannot do anything for you, because it means that you are not pleasing him. But what pleases him is that though you don't see any outcome in your life, you know that you will not perish. You know that you will not perish. In the Bible, there are a category of people who always say, if I perish, I perish. There's a lady called Esther. Esther said, Haman, our enemy, has spoken to the king, and they have written, they've signed an edict which cannot be rectified. They cannot alter it. And the edict says that all the Jews will be killed on a particular day. And now, Esther is the wife of the king. Then Mordecai, her uncle, said, Esther, don't forget, you're also a Jew. When they start killing the Jew, they'll come for you. The fact that you are in the palace doesn't make you a Gentile. You are still a Jew. You see, I'm the one who gave you the name Esther. Your real name is Hadassah. The day they'll kill me, I'll tell them that it was just branding. Your name, no, is Hadassah. It is not Esther. Then she said, let us fast for 3 days. I'll go to the presence of the king. The king is such that if he does not call you and you appear, and he does not stretch his royal scepter to you, you will be killed. You know, those times, they really watch access to greatness. Then Esther said, pray for me. I'm going to the king. If he stretch out the royal scepter, he has not invited me. But when he sees me and stretch out the royal scepter, I will leave. But I am going. If I perish, I perish. She was going trusting God. There was no plan B. The plan is only one. If God does not come through, Esther is dead. That is how you must serve God. Serve God having no plan B. Brother, it is God or God. It's not God or Peter. You know Peter. You know Peter. They'll give you something to put on your waist. There are something that you swallow. Some rings are on your hand. So if that God is not working, Peter will be working for you. You have plan B. But believing God, there is no other plan. The king said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, I'm giving you another chance to bow down to my golden image. Then they said, king, don't even worry yourself to give a command for them to blow the trumpet. We will not bow. He said, our God is able to save us from the fire. But even if he decides not to save us, we'll still not bow. There is no plan B. Oh, pastor, there is somebody somewhere. When I take you there, 2 weeks, the church you have overflow. Hey, we did not come this far because of somebody somewhere. It was God, and it is God. Are you hearing me? You must not doubt God. Walking the walk of faith is not easy, because you are not seeing anything, but God said, come. Okay, Peter said, everybody say you are ghost, but you claim that you are Jesus. If you say, if indeed you are Jesus, bid me to come. So you come. Peter walking on the water is a dangerous thing. What did he hear? Come. He didn't see anybody walking on water before. There was no reference. But God says what? Come. Common sense will tell you that when you stand on water, you will sink. But he chose to believe God than science. What is your belief in God? Your works in life correspond to the level of faith you have. Praise be to God. Give the Lord a clap of faith. Believe God. Luke chapter 11 verse 10 to 13. It says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? God is not a wicked God. In your walk with God, I was telling our sister in the conversation that trust God's judgment. If God has not given it to you today, trust him. Don't even ask why. Because if it is good, you will not even pray about it. He will give it to you. But I came to tell you the mind of God, that this is not your end. I said, this is not your end. Life is going to be better than this. Far, far better than this. To the glory of God. Clap your hands to God's word. All right. When you are worried, it's a proof that you are trying to do God's work. You are trying to do what? Do God's work. Yours is to believe and start moving. When you believe, you pray and thank him for the miracle. Start the business. Start. If God is the one who has put the business in your heart, start. Don't go and sit down. How can God, how are you going to do this thing right now? God, I want to even help you. God, you see, this business that I'm about to start, I'm just starting with three bags, so three ladies' bag. God, are you sure you can do this thing right now? That is how worrying is like. When you are worrying, you are trying to do God's work. He said, stretch the rod, see me pass the Red Sea. Yours is to just stretch it, I'll pass the Red Sea. Believe me, leave the rest to me. How I'll do it is not your headache. Believe me, start the business, start going. Don't look back, keep going. The way I'll do it, leave the details for me. Stretch the rod, Moses, stretch it. I will do the parting of the Red Sea. Moses didn't say, there has not been any record of anybody stretching a dry rod, walking stick, on the Red Sea and he parted. The people were looking at him. He took a rod and did like this. So, there's some, Jama, is it going, man? What's the meaning of this? And the Bible said, God parted the Red Sea by the blast of his nostril. You see that thing that you feel like sitting? That's what God did. And the Red Sea parted. Blast of his nostril. And the Red Sea parted into two. Believe me, I'll do the rest. Give the Lord a clap of praise. I want to give you five wonders of giving thanks to God. And then we close. And number one wonder, Psalms 100 verse 4. Psalm 104. The first wonder of giving thanks to God, ladies and gentlemen, is it gives a protocol for divine access. Anyone who will use the supernatural to his or her advantage is that person who thanks God. Anyone who thanked God, last week I showed you that Jesus demonstrated it when he wanted to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. What did he do? When they gave him the bread, he said, oh, how can this bread be enough? We don't even have money to buy lots of bread. Now the people see that we are not powerful people. Is that what he did? The Bible said when he took the bread, he gave thanks to God. If you want the supernatural to work in your favor, learn to say thank you. Once you thank God, you attract his attention. Are you there with me? The Bible said in Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gate with money in your pocket. Enter his gate changing your perfume. Enter his gate frowning. So that people know that you are serious. You are about to enter into 2023. Now that you are very serious. Now no play. You cross me, I crush you. He said, enter his gate with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter his gate with thanksgiving. Once you are coming to church, look for any reason under the sun to be thankful. To be thankful. So when you are coming to church, you are already filled with gratitude to God. For what? For the fact that you are alive. For making you a boy and not a girl. You are not like some developed countries that when they wake up, say, "Mommy, am I a man or am I a woman?" I say, "I'm a man, but I feel like a woman in my body." It's quite serious. Are you there with me? You thank God for your life. Thank you for making me short and handsome. There is a reason. If I was tall, I wouldn't have been your pastor. With thanksgiving in your heart, and enter his court with praises. That is the protocol for divine access. You want to access the supernatural. Before you fast, thank God. Before you give your offering, thank God. Because this is the protocol to have access to the supernatural. Thanksgiving. Shout thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Number two wonder of giving thanks is an ingredient for answers to prayers and supplication. Philippians 4:6, the scripture we read. Be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Any prayer you offer without saying thanks, you're on your own. It is an ingredient, special spice for answer prayer. If you want your prayer to be answered, thank God for the things he's even about to do in your life. Hello? It is necessary to receive answer prayers. Praise be to God. Number three protocol. Thanksgiving ends battles of difficulty in your life. Hey, you are going through tough times and you are thanking God. You just end the battles like that, bam, out of your life. Jonah chapter 2, verse 7 to 10. You are in difficulties and you are thanking God. I learned this secret from Reverend George Annan. When we were being sacked, You can ask her. She's here. She'll tell you. Every morning, this man of God will call. Son, how are you doing? Say, are you thanking God? I said, Baba, for what? That they have sacked you. So you have to thank God. What is God saying? I said, Baba, I'm praying, but I'm not hearing anything. He said, there's a land for you. Begin to thank God for the land that God has given you. See, this man. So he has shown me to thank God in all things, even in difficulty. Difficulty. You go down on your knees, say, Father, I thank you that you can trust me with problems. Hello? Difficulty. When our sister was giving a testimony, she said they were praying to God, believing God to heal her mother. But when they prayed, the mother died. It's just a small thing. But I said, in all things, thank God. Amen? Jonah was in the belly of the fish. He does not know whether he was in Africa or in Asia. He was at a place that he was completely lost. He was not on earth. He was not in a plane, but like submarine of nowhere. Then the Bible said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I told you, when you are in problems, remember where God has picked you from. I remembered the Lord when my soul fainted. How many of you were down in this year? Give me a wave. Oh, I have been down. Even uncountable times. Some of you were only down once, just January. Because you are an angel. Give me a wave. Have you been down? He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Verse 8. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Verse 9. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of what? Oh, preach me. With a voice of what? How can you be thanking God in the belly of the fish in a place that you have no idea. He doesn't know whether he's in India, China, Africa. He doesn't know where he is. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10 will blow your mind. Verse 10 says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and he vomited Jonah onto dry land. There is power in thanksgiving. I don't know what has swallowed your career. As we are thanking God this man, it shall vomit your career. No. I don't want to have swallowed your money, but it is time for that serpent to vomit your money. I don't know what has swallowed your chances and your opportunities. As you say, Father, thank you. Every spirit that has swallowed your chances, we command them to vomit it now, in the name of Jesus. After he thanked God, God did not talk back to Jonah. He spoke to what? The problem. Spoke to the problem. Because if you speak to the problem will not hear. Because you are in the middle of the problem. The belly of the problem. God spoke to the problem. You know God speaks to problem. When they were on the water, on that lake, Jesus was in a boat. The disciples woke him and said, don't you care that we perish? Bible says he got up, he rebuked the wind and said, peace be still. Then they were wondering, who is this man that he speaks to the wind and the sea? They obey him. Because they are the problem. I see God about to speak to every problem of your life. It may be sickness, it may be disappointment, whatever thing it is, it's about to let go of you now in the name of Jesus. Shout yes! Come on, shout yes! Come on, shout yes! God is about to talk to the problem. He talked to the sea, he talked to the wind. He talked to the whale, and it shall vomit you out. Clap your hands to the word of the Lord. All right. The wonders of giving thanks, the last but one, it guarantees wholesomeness. Wholesomeness. Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. When you know how to thank God, do you know that it's not everybody that is healed that is well? Somebody are healed, but they are not well. Healed, say, Pastor, now no man can break my heart. I say, why? So now I know all their moves. When they are liars, by the time they come, I smell them from afar. You have been healed, but you are not yet well. You are not well because you cannot enter the next relationship. You have become a prisoner of the previous one. The way they treated you, know, though you have learned sense, you cannot give another chance. Thanksgiving will make you well. It will make you well. The Bible said, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Verse 12. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. How many of you have seen a leper before? A leper. If you've seen, lift your hand, let's see. Have you seen a leper before? Okay. Oh, majority of you have not seen leprosy before. Do you have a picture you can project to us? Is it possible? Someone with leprosy? Some of them have, is it boils? Huh? It looks like rashes on their skin. And some of them, the fingers are chopped off. The toes are chopped off. All right? And in those days, when you are a leper, you are not allowed to mingle among people. Because they believe that it is contagious. Anyone you get close to, the person also becomes leprous. So this is an association of leprous people. Association of lepers. Has your problem given you new friends before? Has your problem in life given you new friends before? Those times we were in school, people who are sharks, people who are very intelligent, they work in group. And the people who give base to the reciters. Two times one, two times two, four. The people who born, they give bass. They also work in group. They are the Bass Givers Association. Say monkeys jump in sizes. Your problem can give you a new clique of people. Are you getting me? So they have a similar problem, so they are together. So they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, look at the healing. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus didn't pray for them. He said, your healing is getting connected to your pastor. Go and show yourself to your pastor. As they are on their way, they were cleansed. They were healed. Like that woman I spoke to, I said, go and bring your husband for your pastor to pray for your husband. It's scriptural. I get to my point. They were cleansed. Let's continue. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Very important. So when we come to church, we declare God's word over your life, and there is a breakthrough. What is your attitude like? When the word of God came on them, there was a breakthrough. One of them came back to offer thanks. The Bible said he fell on his face, and he was a Samaritan. Why would the Bible mention it? Because in those days, the assignment of Jesus is to only the Jews, not the Samaritans. But because he found himself in an association of lepers, he benefited from the prophetic word. But he came back with thanksgiving. Let's continue. Then, so Jesus answered and said, anytime you want to know the character of God, when you are reading the Gospels, look at the attitude of Jesus. It will tell you how God behaves. Hello? So when that man came to give thanks, Jesus said, were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? That means that he took notice of it. He takes notice of people who are ungrateful. God, he takes notice of people who are what? Ungrateful. Amen? He takes notice. Were they not 10? Where are the 9? Then he said, Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? There are some people, they become very familiar with God. Because they are Jews, they feel entitled. You remember? Ungrateful people, they feel entitled. They feel that it is his assignment to heal us. They don't know that it's a privilege. Hello? But this one came back. And look at what God did. Verse 19. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Give it to us in the King James. Just the verse 19. I want to show you something. Verse 19. Your faith. And he said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. The rest were not made whole. This leprosy. It's a picture of leprosy. Hello? It will spoil your looks. Amen? But God healed them. But only one person got his body restored. He was made whole. Thanksgiving guarantees wholesomeness. The last one. Then we close. Are you still there? The last one. It shows your acknowledgement of your source. Thanksgiving. When you thank God, you're only telling people that God is my source. So, say, what is your secret? It's God. And I thank God for changing my story. Anytime you thank God, you are acknowledging the source of your blessing. Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. Luke 12, 16 to 21. Thanking God. Say, Charlie, you are not a big man. Say, we thank God. Oh. Hey, you have changed your car again.
We thank God. It is God. Actually, you are now spending dollars. Charlie, I'll be a sharp guy. I'll be sharp. Kaka, let me cut the soap for you. Hello? Look at it. The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. May God give you plenty harvest. May God give you plenty blessings. May God give you plenty money. And he thought within himself, there are some things that, brothers and sisters, you say to yourself inside. Nobody hears it, but God hears it. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? The guy is filthy rich. So he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. Verse 19. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid out for many years. Take your ease, baby. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then, whose will those things be which you have provided? The same night, I'll call my spirit and breath out of you. You are a big fool. Because you don't know where your source is. Instead of you to thank me, you are quick. This is one of the reasons blessings don't last in the life of some people. They get blessed today, tomorrow it disappears. Because they don't acknowledge the source of all blessings. Are you there with me? Go ahead, verse 21. Hurry up, 21. When we close late, he's the one. The one changing there, he's the one. So is he who lays up treasure for himself. Look at it. And is not rich toward God. Anyone who does not give thanks to God is not rich towards God. When you thank God, it's an acknowledgement that God is your source. He is your source. He is your source. Bow down your heads in prayer. Tell God, God, open my eyes to see your goodness in my life. Tell God to give you an attitude to be thankful. If there is any seed of ingratitude in you, tell God you are sorry. Let him take that seed out of your life. Tell God if you have said anything within yourself or to people to discredit him as your source, tell God you are sorry. Forgive me. Tell God you know better. He who saved you in the past, he will save you today and forever. Go ahead and talk to God. I'll trust you. I'll put my faith in you, because I know that you alone can help me. Therefore, receive all your thanks. Receive all your thanks. Receive all your thanks. We give you glory in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Clap your hands.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you have been blessed, uplifted, and transformed by the Word of God. Kindly subscribe to our podcast and as well follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Peacekeepers Assembly and on Twitter at Peacekeepers International for more updates. Or call our office on 054-6764-890. God bless you.